We are kings and priests, joint heirs to his throne and to the blessing. We have as much right on that throne of grace as he does, and we have as much right to the blessing as he does, because he bought it for us. It was ours first.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Jesus came to take back what Adam had lost and fully restore the blessing without measure to his church. Join Kenneth Copeland today for a message on restoration, next, here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Let's go to the 9th chapter of Genesis. God blessed Noah and his son. Well, now, wait a minute. Wait, the Lord had me back up here and wanted me to read something else to you, and I will be glad to do that. Twenty-eighth verse of the 5th chapter. Hold your place there in 9, because we'll flip right over to this. Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil with our hands." He knew something was coming here. "Because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." Now, you remember? Toil, ground. There's coming something, he said, with this one that's going to change that. Now, back to the 9th chapter. God blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the 3 sons of Noah. "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that move up upon the earth and upon all the fish of the sea, and into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you." Why? The blessing is back. The blessing is back. Full glory. The blessing is back. God's perfect will was that statement right there for all men for all time. First thing any human being ever heard. But then Adam blew it off, and now God immediately began working to get it back. To get man off that cursed ground and get him out of that toiling mode. And get the blessing back to work in their lives. It's a very tedious thing to do. But thank God forever he stayed with it. "Now then," and God went ahead to tell him, "I make a covenant with you, and I establish my covenant with you and your seed after you." And then, and we won't take time to read all that, but in the process he told him, "Because of this covenant, the ground will not ever be cursed again on account of what you did." Amen. So the ground was cursed, yeah, and the curse is still there. But when you have the blessing available, then the curse has to bow its knee to the blessing, and the ground will obey you. And you have then what Leroy Thompson calls a sweatless anointing. Hallelujah. I love that phrase. Sweatless anointing. Praise God. Now then, say it out loud. Shem,
Ham,
and Japheth. Now, the two, Ham and Japheth, did not follow that blessing. They didn't accept it. They went their own way. They tried to bless themselves. And the ultimate end of that was the Tower of Babel. And the Babylonian system began. Well, it had already begun, but it began to take over commerce and so forth. And the war between it began. But Shem walked in it. Now then, with that in our thinking, let's go to the book of Hebrews. And we will begin in the 5th chapter. No, excuse me. Let's go back to the 1st chapter. We talked about that a couple of nights ago, and we'll remind ourselves of this. Chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in different manner, spoke unto us, unto our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, wait a minute. I thought Abraham was the heir of all things. Well, Jesus, the seed of Abraham, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of his power is be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and subdue the earth and the whole earth should turn into the Garden of Eden. I mean, that was God's word, and that's what's upholding all of this universe. Amen. Now then, let's move over here to the 3rd chapter. Verse 1. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Let's stop right there. Look over to the 5th chapter. Verse 9. Still talking about Jesus upholding all things by the word of his power. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God. Did you see that? Called of God, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Go back to chapter 3. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You are a partaker. That's the only reason he did it. He didn't need to be high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You needed him to be high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We are partakers of that calling, not only to receive from it, but we are kings and priests, amen, joint heirs to his throne and to the blessing. We have as much right on that throne of grace as he does, and we have as much right to the blessing as he does because he bought it for us. It was ours first. That's the reason he had to become a man to get it back. Belong to us. Just because Adam gave it away and the devil got it, that don't make it the devil's. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, fix your mind on the apostle, the one God sent, and the high priest of our profession, the high priest of our saying the same thing he does. That's what the Greek text there literally means. When we put his words in our mouth and we say the same thing he says, then he's responsible for bringing it to pass. Christ Jesus, the apostle that God sent to be the high priest over our word of God when we speak it, Jesus the anointed. This is what Jesus is anointed to do. And you try to beg him, con him, cry and bawl and squall, trying to get him to do something by telling him how bad you hurt and tell him how weak you are and tell him how bad your old back hurts and your old hip hurts and tell him all that stuff. Why don't you ever do something to me? You're asking him to do something that's outside the boundaries of his calling as high priest. Well, I thought he'd Lord over that. I never said nothing about Lord. I said priest. He's Lord over sickness and disease, but he's priest over healing and miracles. See? He's Lord over the law of sin and death. He's high priest over the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Wish we had more time for that, but you can study that. You've heard that before. Now, stay with me now. Let's go back over now to Genesis chapter 14. Still closing. Just now coming around the corner. We're closing, but see, you had to drive kind of slow around some of these corners because people, some of this people had never heard before. Now, 14th chapter, are you there? Verse 17. Now, you remember what's just happened here. Lot got captured by a bully nation, a bully king, that subdued all the nations around him. He was the most powerful leader that had the most powerful army, the most powerful expeditionary force in that time. And this record here about some guys that got stirred up and declared their independence, and they got kicked really bad. Then they got Lot. Bad move. Now you got the blessing involved. All right. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Now here, when God armed 318 men of Abram's household, and they took off after this king, Ched, Orlay, Omer. No wonder he's kind of bad with a name like that. I mean, that's not the way they pronounce it, but that's the way we pronounce it because you can't remember how to say it the other way. Kedorlay Omer. Ched Orlay Omer. Now you remember his name. 318 men under the power of the blessing absolutely destroyed the biggest army in the land. Many, many, many troops. But they had strategies and so forth that these other guys had never heard of before. They learned it in the blessing. God taught them how to fight. And if you find out part of your blessing is, if you have to go to war, and what I believe in war. War is scriptural. In the course of human events, when mean, ungodly people break the laws of God's peace and well-being and bring oppression and death and pain on other people to the point where local law enforcement cannot handle it, that's when the Prince of Peace rises up and becomes the man of war. Put a stop to it. But if you want to fail at war, you do it your way instead of his way, and you will get whipped every time. We've seen a lot of that lately. Now, They took that army down. And notice this. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return from the slaughter of Ched, Orlai, Omer. And of the kings that were with him at the valley. Now, verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of Jerusalem, the Lord Mayor, this is translated king, but he was Lord Mayor of Jerusalem. That's what Melchizedek means. Brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Remember what we read in Romans? Here was the promise. He didn't say God was possessor of heaven and earth. Everybody already knew that. But because he was of God, in covenant with God, and blessed, he became possessor of heaven and earth. Did Adam own the heavens and the earth under that blessing? Yes, he did. But he threw it away. And Satan took it over. Now, here's a man that got the blessing. How did he get this? How did this come on him? Remember Noah? Shem, Ham, Japheth. Two of them went off and over a period of many years came out of them the Babylonian system. This world, toil, strive for a living, rule, condemn, put people down in order to get everything they got. That ain't God's way of doing things. They violated the blessing. The blessing was replenish the earth. They said, "We fear we be scattered all over the earth." So you see what they did. They didn't take what God said about it. They said, "We got a better way than that. We don't want to be scattered all over the earth. I don't want to do that." Shem, on the other hand, kept it and walked in it and walked in it and walked in it and ministered it, and he became the leader of the school of the prophets in Jerusalem, and now he is Lord Mayor of Jerusalem and no telling what else around there. That was Shem. Shem is Melchizedek. That was an aha moment, wasn't it? Shem was Melchizedek. And he came down there. See, Abram had lifted his hand to God. It'll say it there in just a moment. And said to the Sodomite king, "I don't want none you got. I've lifted my hand to God. I have accepted his covenant. Never let it be said any man made Abraham rich but Almighty God." Or Abram rich but Almighty God. Can you see what he did? And that energized God on Melchizedek, and Melchizedek went down there. Now, I want you to see why Melchizedek was there. "Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered in thine enemies into your hand, and he gave." He did not pay. Pay is the toil word for tithing. You don't pay tithes. You don't owe them to anybody. He gave tithes of all. Then he went ahead with what we just got through discussing. Now go back to the book of Hebrews, please. Call of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Are you up with me now? All right. Now then, let's come over here to the end of chapter 6. Let's don't quite go to the end of it. Let's back up there and read from the 16th verse. Men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all argument. In other words, a covenant. When a covenant is made, that ends all the argument about it. God more willing, abundantly. I mean, how many words does he have to use to get this across to you? This is the biggest thing in God's heart. More abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Isn't that who it just said you are? Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Heirs of the promise in Galatians 3. The immutability, the absolute impossibleness to change his word. To show the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. Now, I mentioned this one time earlier, but I must inject this here and remind you of it in order for this to really take deep seed in your spirit. When Abraham died, God appeared to Isaac, and he stood before him, and he said, I will perform the oath that I promised your father, Abraham. I will perform. And there's whole religions trying to figure out how to get God to perform. He never changed, partner. Get over on the oath he promised Abraham, he'll perform it. All that other stuff you've been dreaming up of why he does this and doesn't do that. Don't he see I have a need for this? God's not out just running around meeting needs because of needs. If he did, he'd be following the devil everywhere. He's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. You get over on the word of his power and he'll uphold you.
Peace, prosperity, health, joy, salvation.
We're talking about the Bible definition of the godly rich.
Now, from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the all-new teaching series, The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich. Available on compact disc and DVD, this series teaches you how to open the door to the inheritance of every believer.
Everything in this book, from Genesis chapter 2, is part of the blessing.
In this series, Kenneth explains the nature of the blessing.
You're not blessed because you're healed. But you are healed because of the blessing. You're not blessed because of wealth and riches in your house. You have wealth and riches in your house because you're blessed.
Meditate with this all-new teaching from Kenneth Copeland and begin today to enjoy all that is already yours as a believer. To order Kenneth Copeland's brand new teaching series, The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich, log on to kcm.org and order online. Or call us toll-free at 800-575-4455. The cost for these enlightening and timely messages is just $18 and is available on DVD or CD. To order by mail, you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich, today.
Faith in the blessing works by well-developed love. Now, this whole idea of God was that the whole earth be filled with the Garden of Eden and filled with His glory and filled with, I mean, beyond anything the human mind could imagine. God imagined all of this. Do you understand that? Praise God. That's the reason I want to make all of these messages that we did in Mac and Lynn Hammond's church up in Minneapolis available to you, not just the excerpts and the edited part that we're doing on television. What we're doing on TV is strong, and I don't want you to miss any of it. But if you can get the DVDs and the CDs of this and get the whole family together and watch it again and again and again and again and again and again, praise God. So use the information on your screen and get these things headed your way just as fast as you possibly can. Now, peace is the blessing. On today's message, you heard that. You can't base faith and the blessing on what you see. No. Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. The blessing changes what you see when you release the blessing. It's available. And when you release it, it begins to work and change what you can see. It changes what you can feel because the curse has to bow its knee to the manifestation of the blessing, the power of the blessing on the name of Jesus, the power and the blessing on the blood, the power of the blessing on the word, the power of the blessing in your life. Praise God. Jesus walked in the blessing of Abraham without measure, and it's time for the body of Christ to do the same thing. Amen. Father, we pray over all of this radio and television audience all over the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
God's got hearts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe what God has said. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
We believe things we can't see, and we call things that be not as though they were, because we know the blessing of Abraham has come, and it is out there working 24 hours a day for me, and it ain't nothing but a matter of time.